And it is that passage we'll be in this morning. If you find your place, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We will be looking at just two of the verses that were read by Pastor David's brother. Special day, isn't it? As we, at long last, are able to officially install Pastor Adam and Pastor David as pastors here at Shawnee Hills. So in a previous pastorate of mine, an installation service was being planned for an associate pastor, and on the Sunday before that installation service, it was announced that there would be an installation the following Sunday. At the close of the service, and as people were leaving, a brand new baby believer came up to me and said, "Pastor Culver, what's being installed? Like a furnace or, you know?" I said, "It's not a what, it's a who." And she had no concept of what an installation service really is. You may not either. This may be the first installation service you've attended. But the purpose is to formally and, I think, appropriately recognize and acknowledge God's calling in the lives of men into pastoral ministry, such as Pastor Adam and Pastor David. This morning, that's what we're here to do. And I have the privilege of being able to preach the message, which is both a charge to Pastor Adam and to Michelle, and Pastor David and to Phyllis, and to the rest of us as the Shawnee Hills family, because this is a two-sided responsibility here. We're not only recognizing these men and their wives, and those of you who have been in ministry or pastoral ministry, you realize there's no way under heaven you could do that without a godly wife at your side to assist you and to help you. And that's been true in my life for over 42 years. Thank the Lord for Carolyn and the way that she has assisted me and supported me and coached me and in a very loving way, criticized me, you know, I mean, just all those things that come with being a pastor's wife and that enable you to do ministry more effectively. So we recognize them. It's a time for us as a church family to affirm following their servant leadership style, right? I mean, every pastor's different. Thankfully, right? If Pastor Adam, Pastor David, and I were like all the same, you'd only need one of us, right? But because God has made us different and he has gifted us differently, we can acknowledge what God is doing here. And next Sunday is my last Sunday. Those flies are still here, Pastor Adam. They're still buzzing around here. That one, I think, just bit the dust right there. But So next Sunday is my last Sunday as pastor here, as one of the pastors here at Shawnee Hills. A week from tomorrow, I will be retired, but still attending. Carol and I, we have the blessing of still being a part of what God is doing here. So we're members here. That isn't going to stop. We live over here on Cheyenne Trail. We're not moving. So we look forward to still partnering with you and serving the Lord here. But these men and their wives will continue to shepherd us moving forward. And what a blessing that is. So regarding pastors, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13 these words. And these are really words that he wanted to deposit into the hearts of those who have pastors like us. This is about pastors, but this is really for the church. Paul wrote, "We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." It's a blessing knowing that we, as a church family, we can respect these men. We do respect these men. And we do esteem these men. We esteem them highly. And we don't take that for granted. We need to pray for them and assist them and support them as we move forward. So this morning, I wish to share two verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that I think are fitting for this occasion. They were not written by Paul for an installation service such as this, but they were written, I think, not only for pastors, but for people of a local church. And it's kind of a charge, kind of a two-sided charge, a charge to both Pastor Adam and Pastor David, and a charge to us as the ones that they are shepherding. So verses 12 to 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, these are Paul's final instructions to the church in Corinth. And he's kind of wrapping up his letter, and he has some final things he wants to say. And so in verses 12 to 14, he addresses the church, and then verses 15 and 16, the house of Stephanas, and then the messenger of the church in verses 17 and 18, and then he has some personal greetings that he adds there at the end in verses 19 through 24. But it's verses 13 and 14 that I want to focus in on this morning. Verses that are not only for pastors, but for those they pastor. And these are the verses. Paul said, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." I think the force of these verses needs to be acknowledged in that these are not suggestions. Take it or leave it. No, these are actually commands. These are commands to be obeyed, commands to carry out. In fact, Paul is so strong in this that he actually uses military language here. He's using words that would have been used in the military of his day to strengthen what he's saying as far as giving these imperatives or these commands to this local church. So the first one is be watchful, which literally means to be on the alert. Like eyes open, ears open, watch what you're supposed to see, listen to what you're supposed to be hearing. Often these words were used with respect to the second coming of Christ. Think about that this morning. I mean, you never know. This is the Sunday before Christmas. I've always kind of thought it'd be cool if Christ returned at Christmas time. You know, maybe he will. We don't know that. That's up to God's will and timing. But we are to be alert. We are to be watchful. And that's oftentimes how this word is used. It could be rendered, be steadfast. That's kind of an interesting way of putting it. Be steadfast, be stable, be secure. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it has the idea of being steadfast in carrying out the will of God. And that's what we're here to do today, and that is to carry out God's will in affirming the calling of God in the lives of these men and their wives, and also our support of them, our followership of their servant leadership. We are to be alert. Paul otherwise urges believers to be on the alert for anything that might endanger them from the outside. And I don't need to rehearse the number of things in our culture, in our country, outside of our country, that represent threats and dangers to even our gathering here, but also in what we're able to do or called to do as believers, not to mention threats from the inside. You know, in 42-plus years of pastoral ministry, I think the greater harm within a local church has happened from within, not from without. It's happened from a divisive spirit, jealous spirit, envious spirit, competitive spirit. And Paul is telling these believers, be watchful, be alert, be steadfast, be aware of what is on the outside that could affect on what's happening on the inside, but also be aware of what might represent a threat from among yourselves and guard your hearts in that way. Now, getting back to how this word is often used and usually used in the New Testament, be watchful and waiting and ready for the Lord's return. We said this many times here at Shawnee Hills, but perhaps today. That really ought to be on our minds. Perhaps today. And if today, is there anything you'd do differently? Is there anything you would say differently? Is there any relationship you would treat differently? If you knew, if we knew that Jesus were returning today, because he could. We believe that here at Shawnee Hills. That he could. We believe in the imminency of Christ's return, the any moment possibility of his return. Be watchful for that. In fact, in other letters that Paul wrote, he tells us that in having a longing for the appearing of Christ, it affects the way we think, it affects the way we behave, it affects our lifestyle, it affects our relationships when we think, wow. And I mean, the Apostle John said, we are not to be ashamed. We are to abide in Christ and not be ashamed at his appearing. So let's just practice daily anticipation of the Lord's return. That would be a great thing. But secondly, the Apostle Paul says, not only be watchful, but stand firm in the faith. Pastor Adam and Pastor David, we need you to do that. We need you men to stand firm in the faith and keep our feet to the fire, all right, as it relates to the faith. We need to be sure they're doing that. As a body of believers, we're not to be like these dumb sheep that follow anybody, but we are to follow good, godly leadership as it relates to standing firm in the faith. Paul didn't want them to be moved by false doctrines, loose morals. And this is the second military image that Paul gives in these two verses. Oh, you know, that happened to me. You know, when you've been at this for 42 years, all kinds of things have happened to you. And I was preaching at a state conference down in Portsmouth, Ohio, when I was just a wet-behind-the-ears pastor from Delaware, Ohio. And I was, this was my first time to preach at a conference. I was like, and I get up there and the lights went out. I mean, not just flickered, they went out. And so, toss the notes aside, you know, that won't do any good. I can't read what I've written here. So it was just like, go from there. And I'm glad they came back on. I'm glad they did. But that's happened. It may happen to you guys, too. So be ready, all right? Hold your ground. Pastor Adam, Pastor David, you are men who stand firm in the faith and don't retreat. Don't retreat. Hold your ground. Stand firm in the faith. There will be and are enemies. There are hostile people out there, hostile movements out there. The word to stand firm is used in 1 Corinthians 15:2 and 1 Corinthians 15:58 to stand firm, to get a firm footing, and to do so in the faith, which may refer to our personal faith. Stand firm in your personal confidence and faith and trust in the Lord, but it also refers to the whole body of Christian teachings. I've known these men long enough. In fact, it's very much a privilege to actually begin and end pastoral ministry with Pastor David and Phyllis. We started off together, now we're ending together, and about 30-some years intervened there, but it's just really something. And all the time I've known Pastor David and Phyllis, they have stood firm in the faith. And Pastor Adam, Michelle, stand firm in the faith. There are a lot of temptations. for all of us to not stand firm, to veer off course spiritually and in terms of the faith, to depart from that. And Paul is saying to all of us, be vigilant, be watchful, stand firm, hold your ground, don't retreat. It's kind of like in John chapter 6, when Peter looked at Jesus after so many people had departed from him, he said, where else do we have to go? You alone are the words of eternal life. And I just want to say, there's nowhere else to turn other than the Christian body of faith and your own personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy in his second letter, he warned Timothy, who was a pastor, okay? He warned him to stand firm in the faith. And here's what he said. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, or to Pastor Adam, or Pastor David. This charge I entrust to you in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this faith, the faith, by rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. It's not something we're going to dwell on here, but more than a few men in ministry have made shipwreck of their faith by veering off course, by getting away from preaching the word, just preaching the word. And thankfully, we have men that do that, right? I mean, Pastor Adam, Pastor David, you guys preach the word. Just keep doing that, all right? Because that's the body of Christian faith. Stand firm in that. And then Paul, in writing to Timothy, also in 2 Timothy, he said, do your best to Timothy. He said, do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, and listen to this, I would not want to go down in Scripture with this being said of me. But it was said of Demas. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. You know, when our love for this present world, for that which is so temporal, for that which is so ungodly, when that supersedes our love for that which is eternal, for the faith that we have, we're just as susceptible as Demas is to desert those that we are to be following in terms of their leadership and their example. So I would ask us this morning, do we have a good, firm footing in the faith? Okay? And the only way that's going to be possible is if our feet are firmly placed on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Okay? I mean, if we're trying to navigate life on the shifting sands of life, well, good luck with that. That is not going to work, right? In the person of Jesus Christ, the foundation of our faith, that's where firmness is found. Well, thirdly, and I kind of like this one, he says, act like men. Act like men. That's a really good one for pastors. Okay, they are men. And yet it has the idea of not just act like men as if that's your gender, but be mature. Grow up. Don't be babies in this Christian life. We all start off that way. Some of you are relatively new in the faith. And so if you're a brand new baby Christian, we expect you to be wearing spiritual diapers, okay? But you know, if you're 30 years old in Christ and you're still wearing diapers, that's a problem. That's a problem. So we need to be moving on. We need to be maturing. We need to be eating the meat as well as the milk of God's word. And otherwise, we'll be swept away. As Paul says in Ephesians 4:14, we'll be swept aside, we'll be knocked off our feet by anything that sounds new and exciting. Listen, so many churches have fallen into that ditch by following fads of ministry. instead of just standing firm in the faith that God has given to us. So the phrase, act like men, and the next phrase, be strong, oftentimes in Scripture, those are coupled. They're not separated. And in the Old Testament, those words are brought together to exhort God's people to have courage in the face of enemies, to be courageous. I like what General George Patton said at one time. He was a famous general in World War II, and he said, courage is fear that has said its prayers. Okay? So the best way to maintain courage in life is to be prayed up, read up, right? And just understanding that God has given us that as the foundation for our life and ministry. In the face of satanic attack and human persecution, Paul exhorted these believers to be strong in the strength of the Lord, not in their own strength. Pastor Adam, you will run out of gas. So will you, Pastor David. You will not make it 42 years, all right, or whatever, unless you are strengthened in the Lord. And there are times when we know we need it. There are other times when we don't know we need it, and we do. And by the way, when Paul says to be strong, he's not saying in your own strength be strong. It could be translated, act like men, be strengthened. It's a passive verb. It's like, allow the Lord to strengthen you. Let him be the strength of your life. Let him be the strong one in your life. Nothing is more attractive, I don't think, in pastoral ministry than to be transparent and at times very honest about your own weaknesses, because that's when the Lord's strength really comes through. And Paul said that, didn't he? He said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So act like men, be strong, be strengthened by the Lord. And then finally, and I think the command that just kind of ties everything together is in verse 14, let all that you do be done in love. Amen. Let all that you do, not some, not most, let all that you do be done in love. And that's true with all of us too. I'm not just picking on them today. I mean, God is charging them this morning to be sure that you are watchful, okay, and act like men and strengthened and all those things. Let everything you do as pastors be done in love. You're never more like Christ than when you do that. And we're never more like our Savior than when we do that. And we shouldn't strive to make pastoring us hard for them. We ought to strive to be good sheep, obedient sheep, Christ-like sheep, that these men still need to pastor us because we're prone to wander, right? Just like sheep. We can kind of find our way going opposite directions, and we need shepherding. So this fifth and final command is really the glue that holds the other four commands together. If you look at verse 14, he says, let all that you do be done in love. And then verse 24, the last verse of this passage, Paul says, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. The love that we're to have for the Lord and for one another is really the glue that holds all of this together. It's the, someone has called it, love is responsible action. It's the motivation for ethical behavior. It covers a multitude of sins. And we all know that we sin more than less. Even as children of God, we sin more than less, but we ought to be sinning less and less the more and more we're like Christ, right? So essentially, Paul commands believers, all believers, pastors and people, all Can I just remind you, pastors are people too. Okay? They have their melancholy Mondays. Okay? Their terrible Thursdays. I mean, that happens to pastors too. And I will say this. Now, I've had the privilege of serving alongside of Pastor Adam for 8.5 years. And he was an exemplary associate pastor. He was. And he's proving to be that as a lead pastor. Pastor David was just a rookie pastor when we first got together. And then he continued to grow. But I'll tell you what, in the time that Pastor David has been here, wow. I mean, what an example of a shepherd's heart Pastor David is. He is a caring, compassionate man. I'm not dissing you, Pastor Adam. I'm just emphasizing something here that marks Pastor David. And many of you have been the beneficiaries and recipients of his care, of his phone calls, of his visits. That's just his heart. I like to think of these two guys as the dynamic duo here, all right? They, not to puff you up, but just to emphasize how God very strategically brings two men that are very different. In fact, Pastor Adam refers to Pastor David as the yin to his yang. So they are, you know, very much complementary in that way, which is great. It's the way it needs to be. So Paul commands all believers to be alert, to be firm, to be mature, to be bold, and to be loving, and to let love drive our alertness, our courage, our maturity, our firmness. It's because of the love that has been deposited into our hearts by the Spirit of God through faith in Christ. So Pastor Adam, Pastor David, would you come up here for just a moment, please? You know what, Michelle and Phyllis, would you come too? Because they're a team. They're doing this together. What a double blessing it is to have two pastors' wives as engaged in servant ministry as, I mean, that was proven today, right? As we watched them flitting around, you know, making sure everybody else was taken care of, everybody else was served. That's powerful. That's a powerful example. So I'm gonna say out of God's word, I just want to charge the four of you to be watchful, to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, okay? To be mature. I'm not going to say act like men, okay, you're not. But to be mature, to grow up, keep growing, not to grow up, but to keep growing, and to be strong, be strengthened. Let the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, through the prayers of God's people, strengthen you, and let everything you do be done in love. May that be true. I think maybe the most concise way of putting this is be like Christ. Just make sure that even though we have some outstanding human examples in ministry, none can hold a candle to the person of Jesus Christ. So set your sights on him, and other things will find their proper place. So Pastor David and Pastor Adam, I have a book I'd like to give to you, which has been very helpful in my life and ministry. It's called On Being a Pastor, Understanding Our Calling and Work by Derek Prime and Alistair Begg, with a foreword by Al Mohler. I mean, how could this be anything but a good book, right? So Pastor Adam, there's one for you. Pastor David, one for you as well. And I would just say to the rest of us, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith, right? Amen. Be mature. Just keep on growing. Growing in the faith, growing in the Lord. Be strengthened. Just never forget where that comes from. It doesn't come from within. Well, it does if the Spirit of God lives within you, right? And let everything we do, I'll include myself here, let everything we do be done in love. I mean, love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians 13, kind of love. That's really our charge. I think in a very good way, be hopeful and be ready. Because God has set us up well in pastoral leadership and in local church leadership, leadership team leadership, to be ready and to know that the best is yet to come. I'm convinced of that. Because let's say, if Jesus comes back today, like, oh, shoot, there were so many things I wanted to do. No, the best has come, all right? The best has come in the person of Jesus Christ. But if he doesn't, then let's just keep on keeping on for the Lord. So I'm going to ask our leadership team, members of our leadership team, and I know some of them are not here, but I would like you to please come and your wives, okay? I'm going to ask if your wives are present, if you would come. Pastor Chuck and Linda, if you would come up here as well. Dana, if you would join us as well. And we're going to, Pastor Adam, would you help me move this off to the side here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. All right. We're going to put the four of you right front and center here. Okay, just like that. And the rest of us are going to come around them. And ladies on ladies, men on men, okay? Try to get in here as best you can. We'll get the Angela come up here. The ladies, all right? That's great. Very good. Now, let me just explain what we're not doing. Okay, this is not some investing of power, you know, into them. No, this is just acknowledging God's call and their need to be strengthened by the Lord. And our privilege, because these other people up here represent the rest of us, and our privilege to be a part of what God has called these couples to be as our pastor couples, these other couples to be as our deacon couples. Maybe for some of you, you don't realize that other than the pastor couples, the rest of these are deacon couples, okay? And form the leadership team here at Shawnee Hills Baptist Church. So that's a great thing. I've asked Chuck Bosley, our state representative, if he would lead us in prayer at this time, a prayer of commissioning of Pastor David and Pastor Adam. And if you do that to you, please, okay? Let me find a microphone that you can use.
Okay. Let's pray together. It's okay. Father, we thank you for Shawnee Hills Baptist Church. Thank you for this body of believers who love you and desire to honor you with their living. Thank you for this special occasion for this church to be able to set aside their pastors in a formal way as they recognize the call upon their lives and they recognize also their leadership qualities and their spiritual qualities to lead this church. Father, thank you for Pastor Adam and for Pastor David. I pray that you might use these men in a powerful way. I pray for them individually this morning as you think about their own personal lives. I pray that they might be growing in you, that they might be growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that the very words they speak and the meditations of their heart, that they might be acceptable to you, because you are our rock and our Redeemer. I pray, Father, that as they're growing, they might be led and controlled by the Spirit of God, because we need quality leadership who's allowing the Word of God and the Spirit of God to lead them. I pray for their marriages. Thank you for Michelle, and thank you for Phyllis. Thank you for these godly women. But I pray that by the Spirit of God that Pastor Adam and Pastor David might be men who love their wives as you love the church. I pray that might be evident in their lives. I would pray also for their families, their children, that you might also help them to love their children as you love them. Father, it's so wonderful to know that you have directed them to Shawnee Hills. May they realize that this is not their church. May they realize that this is God's church. And may they understand that as they live and breathe, that they are to care for the flock. May they realize that it's not about programs and plans and priorities, which are important, but may they realize that it's all about people. That's all about people that you gave your life for. May they care through their love, through their one-on-one opportunities, and as they share the Word of God, may they care for your flock. But may they also lead the flock. It's so great to know of their servant hearts. Help them to remember that you can't drive sheep. You've got to lead sheep. Help them to be those type of leaders. May they lead first, and may your people be willing to follow. We thank you for that today. Now unto him, the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
So before we depart, you deacons, couples, you may leave, but before Phyllis and Michelle and their husbands, Carolyn, would you come up here, please, too? Because we can't have a hug fest without Carolyn up here, all right? And no one has been a bigger cheerleader of Michelle and Phyllis than Carolyn. And what a privilege it's been to serve with you and to commend you to the people and the family of Shawnee Hills Baptist Church. And so we don't do kissing, okay, holy kisses, but we do holy hugs, okay? So we just want to do that, Carolyn, if you want to, okay? That's it. Okay. Okay. Let's see, Kevin.
Hey, stay right there. Why don't you sing? Why don't you join the team? You can join the team. I really don't want you to sing. Oh, they'd be surprised. It's a great song of commitment. Sun's come up. It's a new day dawning. It's time for us to sing our song again. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. If you're able, stand with us. Would you please join us in that song this morning?
Bless the Lord, O my soul.